Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of BBS Film Productions Final Cuts podcast. And I have a special guest here. Actually, you're probably the farthest away that I've ever had a guest, ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we have Wayne Donnelly here. He helps men. Well, he's a business coach and also a hypnotist, which I can't wait to hear more about. He helps men create the best life they can through behavior, achievement, and mindset. He does this professionally and personally for people. So, Wayne, thanks for being on our show. Look forward to talking to you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it too, Dan, and thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here. It's just after 8 o'clock in the morning for me on Wednesday. I think you're Tuesday evening or afternoon.
That freaked us out because yesterday we were supposed to have a meeting and we were a day up different. And you're saying, I'll call you Wednesday. And I'm like, wait, no, what? It was so weird.
Yeah.
But that's cool. That's cool. It's a different culture. It's awesome to be able to talk to people from all around the world now. So, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing now.
Okay. Well, what I'm doing is helping people change their lives by getting inside them a conscious mind, that deeper mind, so we can change the programs inside them so they can change their life.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting area because once you change the mindset and the beliefs that you have, because it's our beliefs, they call it the BS, belief systems, then hold us back from being all that we can be.
Right.
Then
right.
We change the mindset, we can change the actions we take and then the achievements we make. So I call it an MBA, mindset, behavior, achievement. So it does make a change in one's life.
Yeah, that's a great acronym. So how'd you get started in this business? I mean, where'd you begin in this whole world of cocaine?
Oh, okay, well, to keep it short, because she'd never ask anyone to speak about themselves because they could possibly never stop.
Awesome.
So for the relevance of this, I was an accountant and financial planner for about 25, 26 years. And when we got to the, and I had my own business or ran other businesses or worked for people at a fairly high level. Mm-hmm. And we get to December 2008 and the GFC hits, everything seems to stop. And for those of us with some life experience, you'll know what I mean when I say, my future was freed up for new opportunities.
Hey, we all went through it then. You know, that was probably, other than now, I think the closest time to global economic failure. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, what do you think?
It was pretty hard because no one needed a financial planner to tell them their money was worth half.
Yeah,
that just summed it up. And I had some really difficult conversations. I was running the financial planning arm of an accounting firm, and I was sent out to talk to people who wondered why that the money they thought was safe was no longer available, like in the terrible mortgage funds.
Yep.
So I was out there, and I had to figure out pretty quickly how to survive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just took on some contract work for a while, lost a lot of things, ended up going bankrupt. So there's some challenges there. And I thought, well, I've got to start again. And I didn't want to go back into corporate because I've had a gut full of the politics and bureaucracy. So I got a coach to help me figure out where am I going in the next stage of life. And I look back at some experiences around 2005 where I went into depression after spinal surgery. The sport that I loved, that I was passionate about, which is this one, this picture here, surf boat rowing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are very familiar with it.
No.
So we have a boat. There's four guys.
Huh.
Back to the ocean and to the waves. And you have a guy at the back who was the position is called a boat sweep.
Mm-hmm.
And he was our coach. And it's a very repetitive action, the rowing. Mm-hmm. if you do not have the right technique, and if you get, and we're going through waves, you're getting bashed all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Jarring. And I ruptured my disc at L4, L5.
Mm.
And after a few months, I couldn't roll over in bed without crying, like 40 minutes. Ended up having surgery. I went to a neurosurgeon on a Friday afternoon. He said, go and have a meal, come back to emergency, and we'll operate in the morning, or you're a paraplegic.
Wow. Wow.
Which is pretty confronting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So turned up in emergency, couldn't get a bed till 2 or 3 in the morning. I was just laying on a concrete floor. I was in so much pain. I got a bed, and as I was laying in bed, they gave me a drip but no catheter, so they were filling me up with fluid. I couldn't pee. And as I was laying there in bed, the feeling disappeared. It started in my toes, worked its way up my legs. I was losing feeling.
Wow.
I got up to my hips, yeah, roughly equivalent to where the L4, L5 is, and I had no feeling. And I thought, that's it.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to make it. And the surgeon, they took me into surgery about 6 o'clock, 6:30. And I woke up that afternoon, and the surgeon said, look, it's okay. You're not going to be a paraplegic, but.
That's always a bud. Yeah.
Don't cough, don't laugh, don't move too much, because if you get any blood on your spine, you're a paraplegic. So I sort of, for the weekend, I'm just laying in bed.
Wow.
And so on in me.
How long did you have to do that?
Until Monday morning when the surgeon came back to work. And
oh, wow.
Sorry, so I was apprehensive.
Yeah.
Tense out of the weekend.
Sure.
And then on the Monday morning, he said, look, things have worked out well. You could, you know, feel my toes. I could feel my toes and all that sort of thing. And he said, but, no, it's another but. He said, had 2.5 liters of fluid on your bladder, which was the hospital's fault because they put in the drip, a catheter.
Yeah.
And he said, we drained it, but your muscles are probably so weak, you'll never use your bladder again. I'll give you one day to use it. You know, pee 3 times 300 mil.
Oh, man.
Like, no pressure.
Yeah.
If you perform, you're okay. If you don't perform, then we whack in a bladder bag tomorrow morning.
Oh, man. So then you tried your hardest.
Right. Yeah, that works against you too. Performance anxiety.
Yeah,
right. They know about that.
Oh,
so, man. Unfortunately, my fitness was on my side, had good muscle tone, and I performed. And I had a couple of days more, and then I went home.
Yeah.
I think that was Wednesday. And I was okay for a week or two, I think, because of the medications I had in hospital. And after a couple of weeks, sort of, I got a lot of pain coming back.
Yeah.
Fell into depression. I got up to about, I don't know if you have Panadine over there. Panadine. Mm-hmm. We have something called Panadine Fort.
We got fentanyl. We got a lot of fentanyl over here.
Oh, well, that's a big issue, isn't
it? That's the only thing we got.
Yeah. So
different story.
I was taking a box of these every day.
Yeah.
And still arguing with my ex-wife at the time and over the kids, money and stuff, usual things. And to cope with that, then I'd take a six-pack of bourbon and Cokes, as well as the 20 Panadine Fort I'd been taking during the day, fell into depression. Four months later, I was I took a box of opioids, which is like that fentanyl, and hit for a week. No one knew where I was, what I was doing, pulled the sheets up, took the phone off the hook. And then I thought the following week, I thought, oh, I'll get dressed and go to work via a local lookout. Went to the top of the lookout, ducked over the fences, stood on the cliff ready to jump. And now I was done. That was it.
That was the point. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd painted myself into a corner. My self-talk, my negative story, like this powerful negative affirmation, And the phone rang. And I thought, well, I answered. I stopped to see who it was. It was my best mate from the boat crew. And he asked what I was doing and talked me back to his place for a coffee. I think it was about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting referred to a guy who looked like Yoda, probably as tall as Yoda, spoke a bit like Yoda, and is a very good counselor and therapist.
Yeah.
Over a very short period of time, he turned me around from ending life to embracing life.
Yeah.
It was so profound. So as I'm going through the coaching in early 2009, we look back at that experience, and I said, that's it. I want to help other people the way I'd been helped.
Yeah.
So in 2009, I just immersed myself in doing my diploma in clinical hypnotherapy, doing my practitioner and master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
And just jumped out there, started helping people change. And really, after you do the courses, after you do your training, it's the beginning of your training.
Yeah.
Because you're actually there in real life working with people.
Yeah.
Where you get a lot of your learning. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 14 years.
Okay. Now, you'd mentioned... I noticed that your profile says that you work primarily with men. Is that the goal? Or
well, originally, now my focus is men.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had that leaning towards it. I didn't focus on depression because you have to be careful about what you are involved in all the time.
Yeah.
Don't take on other people's energy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a training in itself.
Yeah.
When you're in that field of helping people to overcome their issues.
Yeah.
You need to be in a bubble. You can have empathy, but sympathy just takes you down.
Yeah.
Good to an end. So because I had to do something, I took on a job as a business coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I was using...
Wait a minute. You can always be a Robert De Niro lookalike. I'm telling you. Did anybody ever tell you look like him?
You said that the other day.
I know. I had to bring it up because if I didn't say it, the people are going to look at you and go, wow, that's Robert De Niro. Sorry. Okay. Don't mean to interrupt.
Go. To me.
Yeah, that's all right. Very good. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just had to say.
Good to have a laugh.
That's right.
So I took those things, my training, went into business coaching because with the combination of the mind and business experience, you look at any business, the business is a reflection of the owner.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So if that mind's not right, the business isn't going to be right. And
true.
When a business owner complains about his employees, he's got to go and look in a mirror. So whose fault is it that those employees are working there?
Yeah.
Who didn't create the systems? Who didn't create the filters to get the best people with the best training to get the best results?
That is so true. And so few people want to take responsibility for their actions. You know what I mean? And that's really what it boils down to. That's the first step to wellness is you have to take responsibility for what you're doing.
Yeah. Look in that mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most powerful work is when I lead people to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Or if we're on Zoom, look at that reflection. Don't look at me. Look at your face. Look at yourself as though you're eyeballing the truth.
Yeah. So true. So one thing I wanted to touch on was now you mentioned you're a hypnotist. Now, how does that play in your therapy, and how does that work? I was wanted to see if you could hypnotize me, but I don't think you could just without knowing me, but you never know.
Oh, you could.
But, yeah.
Not with that attitude, Dan.
Sorry. I just thought, good point. You got to want to be helped, I know.
Well, I'll give you a quick demo. Did we do this the other day with the relaxation?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Here's a quick one. This will take you to the edge. It'll demonstrate the power of your mind. You're not going to lose control. You're not going to cluck like a chook or a chicken, rather. Chook is a bit of an Aussie phrase there.
Okay. Is that like a chicken? That is a chicken. Okay.
You're not going to do this.
Okay.
Because this is all about, in this instance, it'll take a minute. It'll be a demonstration to you of the power of your mind.
Okay.
The reality you can create. So you can join in with us if you're watching this recording. Just close your eyes. That's right. Just take a deep breath in through your nose, fill your lungs. And as you breathe slowly out through your mouth, just give yourself permission to relax. That's it. When you finish breathing out, take another deep breath in, filling your lungs. That's right. And this time, as you breathe out slowly through your mouth, just imagine waves of relaxation washing over your body, from the top of your head, down through every muscle, every cell, every fiber, cleansing, renewing, refreshing, relaxing even more deeply, washing out through your feet and the tips of your toes. Now do an internal scan and look for the most relaxed part of your body. It could be your left foot, your right foot, your left hand, your right hand, or somewhere else. And when you find it, acknowledge the most relaxed part of your body. You got it? Just nod when you got it. Tap into it and allow yourself to draw into the most relaxed part of your body and bring all this relaxation up into your eyes. First of all, into all the muscles and micro-muscles in and around your eyes, until all the little muscles and micro-muscles in and around your eyes are so limp, loose, and relaxed. Let us take holiday and don't do anything for a little while. So relaxed. Continue to draw this relaxation, this time up into your eyelids. And imagine filling your eyelids with your very own deep relaxation, like liquid relaxation. You're pouring into great pools into your eyelids until your eyelids become so heavy with the relaxation. They're too heavy to open, that they're so heavy with the relaxation, they just stay closed. So focus on this relaxation in your eyes, in the muscles of your eyes, in your eyelids, feeling the heaviness of the relaxation in your eyes until your eyes become so heavy, then just for a little while, they won't respond to anything at all because your focus is only on the relaxation in your eyes. When you get to this point where your eyes are so relaxed, they won't respond. They're so heavy with relaxation. They're so heavy, they just stay closed. When you get to this level of relaxation, test them. And you'll find while your focus is on the relaxation in your eyes, no matter how hard you try, in vain, when it focuses on the relaxation, your eyes wide open. So tell me what's happening for you, Dan.
They feel like they're glued to the bottoms of my eyelids.
Yeah, that's right. This is called eye catalepsy. It's a hypnotic phenomenon. Now, when I click my fingers, that's right.
I did already. Sorry.
If you're still watching and your eyes are closed, when you hear the click of my fingers, you'll be able to bring your awareness back to the external and open your eyes.
And that would do it.
That's a just in case for those people who
don't.
What was that like for you?
It felt really good. You know what was weird? The most relaxed part of my body was the top of my head. It was just so calm. I was like, it was almost tingling. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. You got it down. That's fantastic. I could see that.
Yeah, it took 2 minutes. I'm sorry. It was twice as long as I said.
But, that's okay. Wow. Now, if I start looking later.
Yeah, when we're going into that place and you get that sort of response, then that's the gateway to going even deeper to do the reprogramming.
I almost equate that to praying to some extent, because when I pray, you almost go into that area. You know what I mean? Mm. It seems to me that's the way I look at it sometimes.
Yeah. Well, when you go into that place, into that depth, it's theta. Or it's like almost sleep-like. You know, when you're in bed and you're no longer awake, but you're not yet asleep.
Yeah.
That space. And that is when naturally, your unconscious mind is more open to taking on suggestions.
Yeah, yeah.
So if your partner's dropping off to sleep, if you're watching this and you want to drop in some suggestions, wait till they're almost just going off to bed. That's a good time to put in a casual suggestion.
I have some ideas on that. I have to tell you. I'll tell you off there, but that's another story. Okay, so moving on really quick. I wanted to talk a little bit about video. It was funny because, you know, we talked originally. I said we were talking, and I said earlier, and I said, you know, you ever think of doing like video? And you're like, oh my God, I got videos all over the place. So I went on your YouTube page. I'm like, wow, they're everywhere. So how do they play a role in what you're doing?
Just getting the message out.
Yeah,
because I want to get. Well, you're using social media for attraction marketing.
Yeah.
People get a sense of you. If you just hear the voice, if you go into the old studies, you know, words are 7%, tonality is 38% of communication.
Yeah.
55% of communication is the body language, that sense, all right. The nonverbal stuff.
Yeah.
So video gives people a better idea of who you are than just listening to a recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you've been on a phone call, you develop a mental picture of that person, then you get a shock when you actually meet them.
Yeah.
So all those videos I've got on social media and YouTube, there's several hundred there. And you get a talk on different topics around mindset.
Yeah.
How you can change your mind, and tips for doing certain things with your mind. It gives people a better sense of who you are. It's a more rounded picture.
Right.
Until we actually get to the place where we have a chat online and it's more one-on-one and this format is quite good.
Right, right. You know, that's true. And I see that more and more. It helps build the personality of not only the individual, but if you're a member of a company, you kind of get the personality of the company by talking to the owner a little bit, you know, and their values and everything that they do. So, yeah, that's cool. So what do you see the future of your industry right now, and how do you envision things going?
Oh, see the crystal ball.
That's right. Well, obviously video and Zoom is probably going to be a big part of it, right?
Well, we've seen that change in the last couple of years through various circumstances.
Yeah.
Traditionally, coaching would have been done face to face. You go to someone's office, or you get together in a group in an office somewhere, or you may have done it in. I tell you what would have been hard in the older days, doing it on phone to get group and conference phone calls.
Yep,
because you're really reaching out, so you only had your words and your tonality.
Yeah.
So from the hypnosis point of view, you would have had to been very good at conversational hypnosis.
Yeah.
Which was very, for those who are familiar with that area, you would have been using a lot of Ericksonian type of things, or NLP, since the 70s.
Yeah.
But the video just gives us so much more. And then we go deep fake AI. Can AI, because AI is being used to replace a lot of professional industries.
Yeah.
The accounting profession, the legal profession, and a lot of different things, because the AI can just go back and research precedents, research the law, if you call it research, and just come up and say, bang, this is what it is.
You know what's strange, though? It's not perfect. It's not perfect yet. To give you an example, I typed into ChatGPT, tell me a little bit about Dan Portick. Write a profile for Dan Portick of BVS Film Productions, Cleveland, Ohio. And it came back, you know, I think a 500-word profile. And it came back so off base. It said I was the director of the Titanic with Martin Scorsese. I was friends with him. We've known each other for years. And it just, it couldn't find certain things. So it just filled it in with what it thought could be correct.
Oh, wow.
Is that something?
I could use that as a marketing tool for you, Dan.
I'll sell it to you. Don't worry.
With people, get your community to say, hey, is this true or false? This is ChatGPT. You're getting people involved.
That's right.
I'm going to do that. That's a brilliant, brilliant concept.
I don't know why it does that, but it's really weird that way. So
then do we go to the next step where it's machine learning?
Yeah.
Because then it can perfect itself, get the feedback, and keep improving and enhancing itself. And even with the coaching and therapy work, that is two things that are in that work: me interpreting the responses from the client,
yeah,
or the group, to ask the next question, looking for them to make a breakthrough. That's right. One part of the work. The other part of the work is I've got no idea what's going on in their unconscious mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say, yeah, I know all about your unconscious mind. I don't know all about my unconscious mind. How am I going to know all about your unconscious mind?
Right.
Although there are studies that have been done, and I think there's things being done covertly as well as overtly, is depending on what you're looking at on the screen and your camera's watching you, it can monitor your eye movements, facial expressions, linking into what the content is on your screen and measuring your responses, you may not even be aware of.
Right. Facial tics and things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
A friend of mine who is based in Australia, and he's called the Human Lie Detector, Steve Van Apren, incredible guy.
Yeah.
And he's using a technology for his years of experience in law enforcement, lie detection, and so on, where because of a database and a history of human responses to truth and lies, it can detect like that with the possibility of whether you are telling the truth, stretching the truth, or telling downright lies.
Yeah. Well, I still think AI is a pretty far away from a standpoint of being able to do therapy right now for all the reasons you just mentioned, right? So, but I think there's potential that it'll be a good assistant, I think, moving forward.
It could be, because when you're working with another human, it's not just the physical, mental, emotional. It's going to the spiritual, and then you're going into like from the conscious to the unconscious to the universal consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we're all connected. We can't be not connected.
Right.
Like there's this energy, this force. When you look at a lot of self-improvement literature, if you're going through history, a lot of the lights that have gone before us talk about tapping into a universal field.
Mm-hmm.
How can I, a machine, tap into a universal field of consciousness?
Right.
Just who we are.
That's deep. That's deep.
That's where I go, Dan.
I see that. I see that. So what about someone new that's starting in this industry that wants to do what you're doing right now? What would you suggest a younger you starting? What would you tell them right now?
Wow, it's a big one.
Speaking of deep.
Yeah. Well, I think there was a guy many years ago called Charlie Tremendous Jones, went to, from a bankrupt cotton farmer into oil, probably found oil on his land. I don't know his whole history. And he said, you can have anything you want in this world. You have to only know two things. One, what you want. And two, what you're going to give or give up to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things. And immerse yourself. If you want to be the best, you got to have a role model. Well, you know what you want, what you're going to give or give up. Have a great role model, a great mentor, tuition, learning everything you can. Never stop learning.
Right.
Because when you stop learning, you are stopped.
Yeah.
Things are always changing and happening. Learn as much as you can. And when you finish your official studies, your learning starts again at a different level when you're working with people in groups.
Yeah.
And keep making all the mistakes as quickly as you can to improve your learning.
It's the only way you're going to succeed, right? You got to make mistakes.
Yeah, it works. And pathway to your success, your professionalism, your skill is in making mistakes. You can learn from others. The biggest learnings will be the ones you make yourself.
Yeah.
Be the best you can be. And when you're doing that, then we come into that marketing side. Who is it you're going to be serving? Know who they are, what their aspirations are, what their pain points are, and learn about people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to a coffee shop and learn about people. You can watch two people talking. You can watch their body language. You can watch their interactions, their responses when you hear their words. They're great learnings. Every interaction you have with another person, and test things. Don't be afraid to go out and test things. Like, for a little while, what I was doing in 2009, I was walking around trying to hypnotize people in the street. I'd go up, say hello, do an introduction, and ask them questions. And I found I wasn't getting a lot of response. So I formed a meetup group, and I started teaching other people how to do instant inductions, where you do the handshake and knock them out. Well, that's probably a little bit harsh, put them to sleep. So
this I got to see someday. I don't know how we'll do the hand.
One of my videos going back to 2009 was, or 2010, and I was in the streets of Manly in Sydney, and I had a group. I'd been teaching them how to do these things. So I said, let's get out of the cafe and let's start doing it in a group. And we'd start hypnotizing each other.
Wow.
Or a crowd, draw people out of the crowd. And there's a couple of minute video from, I think, 2009 or 2010. It's had over 100,000 views now.
Mm-hmm.
About 20,000. And this young guy just comes out of the crowd. I look at him, shake his hand, sleep, gets his hand stuck, and
what?
Can't unstick it even with his eyes open. Fit young man. Oh.
Isn't that something? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So that is the way you're going to get your confidence. Go out there and do it.
Right, right.
And there's a process so that you can never fail.
No.
You're testing people. If they don't pass the test, throw that one back in the ocean, get the next one until you find people that are going to work with you.
And yeah.
Like compliance. So there's that. There's a couple of those type of videos mm-hmm. where I'll go to markets. When I want to, it's sharpening the axe. If I want to really sharpen the axe, I'll either get out there. So I'll do it in the streets publicly. And
yeah.
It's very, very confronting. You got to reframe things. You just got to keep at it until you're good at it.
Yeah.
And then also, as an aside, to also sharpen the axe, I was doing comedy hypnosis shows.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in front of a couple of hundred people and you don't know who's going to get hypnotized,
mm-hmm.
you don't know who's going to respond, and you've got to be able to sort them out when they get on stage. And then you've got to be able to produce a show which entertains people and give people a good experience so they feel better when they leave the show than when they walked in.
Right. Wow.
That's another level of skill development. So
right.
When I've got people one-on-one or in a group online, mm-hmm. no problem.
So wow.
Push yourself to the limits and then keep pushing.
How far right. can you go? Wow. That's good advice. Very good. Well, Wayne, I got to tell you, this has been very interesting. And I know when I first talked to you, I was like, I got to get this guy on the podcast. When you said hypnotist, I was like, wow, this is cool. So it was really interesting. And I think our listeners are going to get a lot out of this. So if anybody's interested in working with you, how can they reach you?
Oh, it's a very simple. Just send me an email. As I imagine, most of your listeners are going to be in the US or North America. So just send me an email, hello@waynedonnelly.com. So that's WAYNE. Oh, you can see it on the screen. DonnellY.com.
Right.
And we'll tee up a chat. Because I always like to speak to people, scope it out, see what the things are that they're wanting to rearrange in their mind. Or what goal they would like to be able to achieve over a given amount of time. And we scope it out and see what we can come up with a solution for them.
Wow. Well, fantastic. Well, I really appreciate you being on our show, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from some of our listeners shortly. So, good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Let's face it, everybody loves to make podcasts and vodcasts, but nobody wants to edit them. Well, except for us. At Premier Podcast Productions, we professionally edit and distribute podcasts and vodcasts for companies around the world. Our process is simple and affordable, allowing you to stay focused on what you do best, developing great content and building your subscriber base. From recording and editing to final distribution and marketing, we can help every step of the way to make your podcast stand out and get the results it deserves. Contact us today at PremierPodcastPros.com to take your podcast to the next level.